Luke chapter 17 is where I want to draw your attention to this morning from God's word. So if you want to turn there, and we're gonna talk about this morning about Thanksgiving. I had shared with you last week that when we finished up this series on You Belong, one of the things that we talked about is how God gives all of us giftings and talents. And he's asked us to use those, not to keep for ourselves, but to be a blessing to other people that are around us. And I think that Thanksgiving is one of those same type of times that when I said last week that hopefully our attitude about Thanksgiving isn't that we just give thanks on Thanksgiving Day, but we have an attitude of Thanksgiving every day. You know, that we are thankful for who the Lord is and what he's done in our lives. But when we talk about Thanksgiving, the scripture I want to share with you in just a moment this morning, I think is such a powerful reminder of us being thankful. But you know, maybe some of you heard this story about the lady who had had a doctor's appointment. And of course, how many of you ever been to the doctor when the doctor was on time? Now, before we diss on the doctors, aren't you thankful that they spend time with you, you know, when you're there, that they're not in a hurry? We just want them to be in a hurry for everybody else until it comes our turn, right? But anyways, this lady, and the doctor was late. She was super busy that day. She had to leave her job, go to this appointment. You know, goes to the appointment. He's been busy. He's late. So now she rushes out of the doctor's office. She's got to go pick up a prescription. She's got to pick up her kids from the babysitter. She's got to get home because they got activities going on that evening. She has dinner to get prepared and one thing another. So on her way to get her children, she decides she's going to go to the pharmacy to pick up this prescription. So she's driving through the pharmacy parking lot, lo and behold, the heavens open up and it starts pouring down rain. And it's one of those gully washers. And she says to the Lord, "Lord, you know what kind of day I've had. It's been busy. Everybody's been late. This has been going on. That's been going on. And now here I am. So God, could you just open up a parking spot close to the front door?" And as she's pulling down that first row, she gets almost to the front door, and all of a sudden she sees these backup lights come on this car. This car starts to back up, and she goes, "Never mind, God, an opening just opened up." Boy, I wanted you to laugh, but now, how many times do we do that? You know what I'm saying? You know, how many times do we sometimes not say thank you to God for what he does in our lives? Amen? And I just think it's so incredibly important for us that we're always thankful for what the Lord has done in our lives. And I just want to encourage us, especially on this week before Thanksgiving, that there's so many things for us to thank the Lord for today. You know, last week we shared a few things and we talked and we gave some things. But if I just gave you like a minute or two, could you just look at your neighbor and tell them what you're thankful for today? Just talk to the people that are right beside you. And if you don't know them, it's a good time to introduce yourself to them and know who they are. But what are you thankful for? Tell your neighbor what you're thankful for today. How many of you had something to say that you were thankful for? We all do, don't we? We all do. Let me encourage you to look at this scripture. We're going to talk about this for a few moments this morning. And this is a true story in God's word in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? You know, and what I want to do this morning, and I'm certainly not here as soon as I figure out what I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let it fly right out. I'm certainly not here this morning to tell us that we are unthankful. What I'm here to tell us this morning is this, is that we have so much to be thankful for. You know, and every blessing, every good gift, you know, the Bible says comes down from the Father of lights, James 1:17, and we're so thankful for the Lord. But these 10 lepers, these are men who are desperate for a miracle, and those of you that have read these passages of Scripture before, there's another man that was, I think he's in Luke chapter 2, or maybe it's Luke chapter 5, and it says that he had the same disease, he had this leprosy, and he came to Jesus, and he made this statement, he said, Lord, if you're willing. He said, you can make me whole. He knew Jesus could heal him. And here's the ultimate thing that Jesus did, because in the Bible days, the ultimate thing that you didn't do is you didn't touch these guys, you know, because what they had was very contagious and these different things. And Jesus reaches out his hand, the Scripture says, and he touched the man and he goes, I am willing, be whole. And he healed him. And can I just encourage you this morning that Jesus does that with us in our lives every day? The things that we have need of today, the Lord is more willing to give to us than we are to receive his blessing in our lives. Do you know that this morning? And I just think it's such an incredible passage of Scripture. But in Bible times, the word leprosy was used really to describe many kinds of skin diseases. And we know that the prognosis many times was not good. These people died from this disease, and it was tough. They were potentially contagious. So in the Old Testament, there were laws about this, in the Hebrew law, that they could no longer live at home. They couldn't be around their family. They couldn't shop in the markets. They had to live in these communes that had other lepers that were a part of these communes. They were completely cut off from society. They were completely cut off from their family, from everything. They couldn't go to the synagogue. They had to keep their faces covered, and they had to live separately. And anytime anybody came near them, they couldn't mingle with them, and they had to let them know that I'm unclean. So they had to holler it. They'd say, unclean, unclean, you know. And it was just a horrible thing, you know, when you read about this. And what's really awful about this is you read in the Scripture, most of the people in the Bible days suspected that because of their sin, that God had condemned people with this disease. You know, and that's what they would think. And so leprosy was not only a social ailment, but it was also a spiritual element, and much more than it was just a physical one. So it's no wonder that these men cried out and they said, have mercy on us, you know, and because these guys are in a desperate situation, they had to cry out because they couldn't get any closer to Jesus. And they needed mercy because most of these skin diseases had no known cure. Now, this morning, the word or the term mercy means not getting what you deserve. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that God has mercy on us? You know, in Lamentations, the Old Testament, it says that his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Aren't you thankful that his mercies are new every morning? But I'm sure these men probably felt condemned by God. They're hurting all over, not only physically hurting, but they're hurting in their heart. They're hurting emotionally. They had probably heard this news about Jesus, like this other man that I shared with just a little bit earlier when Jesus said, I am willing, you know, and so they probably heard the news about Jesus. They heard about his miracles. They heard about the things that were happening, and all of a sudden, somebody probably says, here he comes, you know, and so these 10 guys, they come out, and they yell out in a loud voice, Jesus, have mercy on us. And it's interesting because whenever they cry out to Jesus, they appeal to him to bring them some sort of relief. And can I just say, he did bring them relief. And I think this is just an amazing passage of Scripture. And Jesus, he tells them, and he says back to him, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, in that day and age, we know that the priests that were the priests of the synagogue, they were the health inspectors, you know, and so when these kind of diseases happened, they were considered unclean. They had to go, the priest had some very detailed ways that he had to investigate this and look at them and one thing another, and only he could declare them well, that they were going to be healed. But the Scripture says that as they were going, the lepers were made whole, they were healed. I find it interesting in this, and I don't know, sometimes things hit me differently, but I think it's interesting that Jesus treats these men differently than he did the man when he stuck out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing, be clean. He says to them, go show yourself to the priest. You know, and so these men could have argued with him. You know, they could have said, no, we're not going to go show ourselves to the priest. We need you to come over and do like you did to that first guy. You know, we need you to touch us. Or they might have, you know, said, no, we need you to pray for us. Or we need you to, you know, and Jesus just said, go show yourselves to the priest. But what's interesting is they obeyed what the Lord said. And the Bible says that as they turned and as they started walking away, all of a sudden, they were clean. Now, I want you to put yourself in their boat this morning, okay? You turn around and you're walking away. The Lord said, go show yourself to the priest. And all of a sudden, and I don't know what your hands would look like or your arms would look like, but I'm sure that they were infected. I'm sure that they had all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden, right before their very eyes, their hands are well. And their arms are well. And their feet are well. And all these things happen. And this one guy who was a Samaritan, and we know that the Jews didn't have any dealings with Samaritans. The Samaritan man notices and immediately turns around. And what does he do? He goes back. He falls down at the feet of Jesus. And he says, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And Jesus looks at him and he goes, were not all 10 of you healed? And you're the only one that comes back? And what Jesus is saying is this, is the very unlikely, the most unlikely of all of these 10 is the one that came back. He's the one that came back. And then Jesus declares him healed. He told them to go ahead and act if they were already healed. And I think this is interesting. And as they obeyed and as they stepped out in faith, they experienced the miracle working of God himself. Can you imagine how astonished these guys were when this happened? Because there were some things here that I think were pretty incredible about what was happening. Because as they're going away and they see their hands healed, I'm imagining that they're probably thinking things like this. The priest is going to declare me whole, and I'm probably going to go home and hug my wife, maybe for the first time in years. I'm going to go be able to hug my kids and my grandkids, maybe for the first time in years and years and years. They probably got all this stuff going through their mind. They're probably thinking, we're finally going to get to sleep in our own house tonight with our family surrounding us. We've got all these things, but so before we get very quick in judging these guys about, man, they're really thankless. There's probably a lot going through their minds right here. You know, there's probably a lot happening, and they're thinking about this reunion. They're thinking about all these things that were going to happen. And as soon as they notice, and as soon as this one man notices healing, he stops his re-entry really into society, and he returns to the source, who is Jesus. He pauses, and he took time to acknowledge his great gift by thanking the great gift giver. And I think it's a fascinating story. And it's something that we can all learn from. See, Jesus noticed that this leper was a Samaritan, the very one who should have been the least. He was half Jew and half Samaritan, and he was the least likely to appreciate this miracle from the hand of Jesus more than a Jewish man would. Yet he did appreciate it, and he was rewarded for it. Here's what Jesus told him. Go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. And friends, can I tell you this morning that when Jesus declares this man whole, he's talking about physically, spiritually, emotionally, every aspect of his life, he declares him whole. So I think the point that is made in this passage of Scripture this morning is really a simple one today, and it is this morning. I think that the Lord would speak to us through his word this morning and tell us that we need to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness in our lives every day. An attitude of thankfulness in our lives every day. See, we need to be thankful for the little things. Last week, we talked about some of those things, and this morning, as you looked at your neighbor and you were thankful for some things, you know, I was thinking about little things, you know, that aren't so little. You know, but we think about, you know, I get up early, and it's always fun to see the sunrise. You know, and we live in an amazing part of the United States, and we live in an amazing area in Central Oregon where we get a lot of sunshine, we get a lot of clear weather, we get a lot of these different things, and we have some pretty incredible sunrises. We have some pretty incredible sunsets. You know, there's some of those things that we look at. But I want us to think about this, the stars at night, you know, some of the little things, noticing people around us. People are busy. They're just like these guys. You know, people are busy, and noticing people around us. How about giving or receiving a smile from somebody? You know, and tasting a delicious bite of a Big Mac. Now, some of you are pushing on me about that. How about watching yours or someone else's grandkids just play? Hasn't been too long ago, I was watching my grandkids, and I looked at Gretchen, and I said, do you remember being that age? And she said, no. And I said, me either. But I said, but I look at them right now, and you know what? They don't have to worry about how to pay the light bill. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to chase a rabbit here for a minute, but a number of years ago, I wasn't feeling good, and I was at home, and I had a zillion things to do just like we always do, and I was laying on the couch, and I was covered up with a blanket, and I was laying there, and I was thinking about how much it was cost me to lay on that couch that day. I know none of you are like me, because I'm just weird when it comes to that. But I was thinking, my house payment is X amount of dollars, and so every day I'm having to pay that. Light bills average in this, and I was thinking about how much it was costing me to lay there, and I was like, I cannot be laying here. I've got to get up, you know. I got to get up. And I'm looking at these little kids. They don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You know, they don't have to worry about that. It's watching those type of things. It's feeling alive even when it hurts. And we all know what that is, don't we? And then we say this, thank you, Father, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are good. And Pastor Jeremy prayed it this morning, and this is in my prayers a lot, that you are gracious and that you are kind and that you are merciful and that you are loving and caring and compassionate and tender and forgiving toward all of us. I'm thankful for that today. Scripture says in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. So we say, Jesus, we just thank you for your blessing. Here's what we all know this morning. We all know what it feels like when someone genuinely thanks us for something. We all know what that feels like. And we all know what it feels like when you've broken your back and you've exhausted yourself, and you've done everything you can to help somebody, and they don't even say thank you to you. Now, it's times like that for me that I have to spend deep times of repentance. And I know that you're not like me, so don't follow me as I follow Jesus in that, because that's not Jesus, what Jesus does. But sometimes I'm like, man, do these people even know what you just did for them? Do these guys even know that you just, you know, got a crew of people and helped them move? Do they even know what you did? And they just like, see you later, you know, and you're just like, really? We find ourselves doing that occasionally, I think. But we know what it feels like to bend over backwards and serve someone that doesn't seem to appreciate it. And I wonder how many times that God feels that way about us. Because here's what I know that happens occasionally, and I've had people say this to me. Well, I'd be more thankful if life didn't just hurt as bad as it does. I would just be more thankful if life didn't feel like that it's done me a dirty deal or dealt me a bad hand or whatever the case may be. And I can just tell you this, if we want to think about it, there's really a lot of things that we're really not really thankful for. But can I just encourage you and say, and if that's the case, then we really do need to cultivate gratitude in our heart. That we need to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness in our heart. Research shows, and this is from a 2015 study, shows that being thankful is actually good for your health. In this study in 2015, Robert Emmons, who is a professor of psychology at the University of California in Davis, said this, that in clinical trials that they had done, they indicate that the practice of gratitude can have a dramatic and lasting effect in a person's life. It can lower your blood pressure. It can improve your immune function and facilitate more efficient sleep. The University of California San Diego School of Medicine linked gratefulness with better heart health, specifically less inflammation and a healthier heart rhythm. Paul Mills, another researcher, found that thankful people showed a better well-being and a less depressed mood, less fatigue, and better sleep. Researchers at the University of Utah and Kentucky linked optimism with more disease-fighting cells in our bodies. And if that's not enough, consider this. People who keep a gratitude journal that's me. I mean, I've got notebooks filled with what I'm thankful for. Seriously. No, I'm teasing. And I read that and I'm like, a gratitude journal? Really? You have one, don't you? Because he's a journaler. Jeremy's tried to help me to become a journaler. Pray for him. Desiree, is it okay if I put you on the spot? So this morning in the first service, I go, is anybody here really keep a thankfulness journal? And she raises her hand. And I'm just like, how old are you, 18? You're 17. And I'm just like, forgive me, Lord. Good for you. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And you know what? To have a journal of just the things that you're thankful for every day, it's a big deal. You know, it's what? It will change your life. And you need to all remind me of that, okay? It will change your life. But having a daily gratitude practice can actually reduce the effects of aging in the brain, it says. Lauren Dunn said, be thankful. Science says gratitude is good for your health. So science really is just merely documenting the goodness of obeying God's word in our lives every day, isn't it? And being thankful for what God has done. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and I read this scripture to you last week, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now let me read it to you again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Because here's what happens. We think to ourselves many times, how can I be thankful for all things? And that's not what I just said. The Bible doesn't say be thankful for all things. It says be thankful in all things. There's a difference there. Do you know that? There's a difference there. Because it's hard for you and it's hard for me, and the Lord knows this, for us to be thankful for some of the things that we go through in life, through some of the crises that we face in life. But when he says, be thankful in all things, can I tell you what it does? Again, it pulls our eyes off of what we are going through and it puts our eyes on Jesus. It helps us to remember that in the midst of this situation that he's with us. That's why Isaiah last week, whenever I shared this scripture with you, he said, don't fear, don't be dismayed, I am with you. What did the Lord say? When you walk through the fire, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the waters, you're not going to drown. I'm going to be with you. And to know that the Lord is with us in all things, I can be thankful that the Lord is with me when I face a struggle in my life. I can be thankful when I know that God's hand's on my life. How do I know that? We talked about this last week just a little bit. But friends, to know Jesus and to know him as your Lord and Savior and to know that the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man or the steps of a righteous woman are ordered of the Lord. God puts our feet on a path. He puts us on this place. And he says, here's the way and I want you to walk this way. If I commit my life to Jesus and know that he's got a plan and a purpose for my life, then the things that I face, he's going to help me with them. He's going to direct me through them. He's going to help me and encourage me and strengthen me to face the crises and to face the difficulties that are in my life. I'm not thankful for the stuff that I'm going through, but I am thankful that he's with me as I go through the stuff. That's why I like that quote from Robert Capon or whatever his name was last week that I shared with you when he said that God sometimes doesn't help us start our stalled car, but he does come and sit with us when we're stuck in the snowbank. You know, that's just a pretty practical thing, isn't it? Just to know that his presence is there. Because, friends, here's what I know this morning. We can endure hardship, and the Bible says that, endure hardship as a good soldier. You know, and we can endure hardship, and we can endure a lot of things if we know that God's hand's on our lives. That we know that He's in control, that what we're facing, that He's aware of it. You know, I've always heard this, that there's nothing worse than going through difficulties in life, going through tough problems, going through a crisis in your life. The only thing worse than that is thinking that nobody cares about what you're going through. Because sometimes we get into that place mentally where we think that nobody cares about what I'm going through. And friends, that's not true. God always puts people in our life. God always puts somebody there to help us, and He's always there. That's why I heard this song not very long ago, and it reminded me, because there were people that used to sing this as specials in church when I was a kid growing up, and the song went like this: "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Can I just tell you that nobody cares for your life like Jesus does? He cares about us. Because here's what I know about the Lord. He puts our feet on this path and He sets it in motion. And this setting in motion that the Lord sets our feet on, He doesn't just wind it up like Pastor Jeremy said a while ago and put it in motion and then just say, "Hey, see you at the end and I hope you have a good time there." That's not what He does. He sets it in motion and He says, "And I'm going to be with you every step of the way." He said, "I'm going to be there to help you. I'm going to be there to comfort you. I'm going to be there to counsel you. I'm going to be there to strengthen you. I'm going to be there when nobody else is there." Scripture says this: "When my mother and father have forsaken me, God will never forsake us." He knows your name. Your names are written in the palm of His hand. Aren't you thankful for that? He knows about us. He cares about us. His word says, "In all things, not for all things." And there's a difference. And I really believe what God means is that we can thank Him for His presence. We can thank Him for His power. We can thank Him for His help as we walk through the trials and the crises in our lives. You want to know what God's will is for you? We just read it. Let me read it to you again. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." His will for us is to make sure that we have an attitude of thankfulness every day. I talked about the little things, but what about the big things? Because for these lepers, it included their entire life. It included every facet of their being. It affected their families. It affected them. It affected their health. It affected their emotions. It affected them spiritually. So to be restored physically and socially was huge for these men. To return to full health to their families, not to be outcasts anymore, not to be avoided and probably ridiculed for most of the years of their lives. But what about the greatest gift of all? And that's God Himself. The fact that we get to call God Father, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. The fact that we get to call God our Father, that we can be adopted into His family, that we can have all of our sins forgiven, that we can call Jesus our Savior and our friend, to know that we'll never be alone again. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, the Scripture says He'll be with us. He who is in us is greater than he that's in this world, 1 John 4:4. Do we ever thank God for our salvation? And I want to draw our attention there today. Because I look at it so many times and I think to myself, man, God is so good that He forgives our sins. That He's prepared a place for us. That He's given us a promise. And I close with this morning. A dear, dear friend of mine, and I've known him for years. I've known this guy for close to 30 years. He was in the church that I pastored when we were pastoring in the valley, and his wife and he and our family became very, very good friends. He was at church every Sunday morning, and I just assumed that he knew Jesus. So one time he was doing a building project out at his house, and my brother-in-law, most of you know Lee, was a concrete contractor for a lot of years. And so he had called Lee and asked Lee if he would come over and do a job for him, and so Lee said he would, and then he asked me whenever he got there, he said, "Hey, we got kind of a lot going on in the morning, would you mind coming out and helping me, and then you can go back, and I'll finish it up," and I said, "Okay." So I went out and helped him and got everything done that we needed to do, and then he was there, and so he comes back to my house that night, and he was going to spend the night because he was late getting home, and he was going to spend the night and go home the next morning. And he says to me, he goes, "So I'm having this conversation with this guy today," and I ask him, "How long have you been a Christian?" And he goes, "I'm not." And then he looks at me and he goes, how long has he been sitting in your church? And then he started questioning my pastoral abilities. And he says to this guy, he says, so you're not a Christian? And he goes, no. And he says, but you're in church every week. And he goes, I know. He says, do you mind if I ask you why? And he says, because when my wife and I were getting ready to get married, he said she was a Christian and I wasn't, and she told me it was really important that we went to church as a family, and because I love her and because I respect her, I went because she wanted me to be there. Thought it was interesting. We come to Redmond, and to my knowledge, before we left, he still must have never made a commitment to Jesus. We're here for a few years, and I get this call from the pastor that had become the pastor of that church, and he said, hey, I got something really exciting to tell you. And I said, what? And he says, mentions this man's name, and he says, he gave his heart to the Lord on Sunday. Yeah, it's a big deal. And since then, I've had a couple of different opportunities to sit down with him personally and talk to him, and he's really excited about his relationship with Jesus. But he asked me an interesting question before that point there happened. And he said to me, he says this, he goes, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He says, so as a Christian, we would believe that when people die, they go to heaven, right, if they know the Lord? I go, yeah. And he says, then why when people die, is everybody whining and moaning? And he goes, I just don't get that. And he says, because it kind of seems like it'd be a win-win, you know? And I'm just like, yeah. So me with my brilliant mind, I said to him, I don't think that's why people are whining and moaning. Those were his words, not mine. I said, I think it's because of the hurt that we feel when we lose someone that we care dearly about. And I said, but the good news is this. The Bible says for people that know Jesus, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I said, the other thing that I really appreciate about the scripture is this, is that the Bible tells us that we don't sorrow for people that pass away, that we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Because as believers, we know that one day that we're going to be with our loved ones again. And that's going to be a big deal. That's going to be a big reunion. I said, I think that it just leaves such a hurt and such a hole because people are married for a long time, or it's been your mom, or it's your dad, or one of your children, or a loved one, and it leaves a hole. And I said, but even in the midst of that, the thing that I love so much about the Lord is that he's our comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he brings comfort to us in our time of need, and he helps us. And I'm thankful today whenever we talk about the big things. I'm thankful that John 14 says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to go there and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And whenever I do, I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you into myself, that where I am, there you will be also. That's a big deal. That's a huge promise. And I don't want to miss that. And I don't want anybody to miss that. So when we think about Thanksgiving, it's not just about turkey. Gretchen said to me, because my dad, some of you have asked me a day where my dad's at. He went to Salem to my sister's house, and they're going to California to their oldest daughter's house for Thanksgiving, and my dad went. Gretchen says to me, do you know this year's the first time that I don't have to make a ham? Because my dad doesn't like turkey. So she always made a ham for my dad every year for Thanksgiving. She goes, I don't have to make a ham this year. And we kind of laughed about it. But friends, listen. The thing that we think about is when we're thankful to God for his many blessings, and I'm thankful for you today. I'm thankful that we get to hang out together like this on Sundays and on Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights at CR and yesterday at the bazaar. It was a cool deal just to see a bunch of people and visit and talk. But the thing that blesses me so much and what I'm so thankful for is that we live in this world right now, but Jesus has promised us that one of these days we're going to depart from this world and we're going to go to heaven. And we get to hang out together there too. You know, and it's going to be an exciting reunion. It's going to be exciting. So I just want to encourage us. Not only are we thankful for just the little things of our life, and how do you determine what's big and what's little, but what I'm talking to you about right now is the big deal. You know, it's the big things, thanking God for the big things. Thanks for heaven. Lord, thanks that we're going to be there if we know you one of these days all together. Thank you, Jesus, that you said that you're going to wipe away every tear. There's going to be no more crying. There's going to be no more pain. There's not going to be any pharmacies in heaven. There's not going to be any old folks' homes in heaven. There's not going to be any wheelchairs in heaven. The way God created it at the beginning is how it's going to be. And I'm thankful for that today. And I'm thankful for who God is. So Jesus says to this last man with leprosy as he comes back, and he says these great words, and I love this passage. He says, rise and go. He said, your faith has made you whole. In fact, the most literal translations of what Jesus told this man was this. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. So this man with leprosy not only found salvation physically, but he found salvation emotionally and physically and spiritually. And that's what the Lord wants all of us to have today. He wants us to be whole. God wants us to just have that thankfulness in our heart of what he's placed around us, the people that he's placed around us. But friends, again, we have to remember that we're just pilgrims passing through and we're on our way to heaven. And one of these days, we're going to be with him and we'll be together again. And I'm thankful for that. So Jesus, thanks today for who you are. Lord, thank you today. Lord, for what we might call little blessings. And Lord, I know that I told the story of the lady out in front of the pharmacy. But God, can I just say thank you that, Lord, when we need that parking spot by the front door, you usually give it to us. Thank you for that. But Lord, in the big things of our lives, God, thank you that I can know you. We're thankful that we can know you. We thank you for your promises. That Lord, that you're our healer today. That you are our baptizer today. That you are our salvation today. That Lord, you're the one who makes us whole and complete and entire. That Lord, that you give us physical health and Lord, you help us in every facet of our lives. God, thank you that when we're going through the fire and it seems like you're not there, you're there. Because you promised that you'd be there. And Lord, I praise you for that today. Lord, thank you that when we need you to come close, you come close. Lord, thank you when it feels like nobody else cares, you care. And Lord, we just want to say we love you today. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't received you and made you the Lord of their life, the God that they could know that today and have that security of knowing that their heart is right with you and knowing that you have promised them a home in heaven also. And Lord, we're so thankful for what you do in our lives. So Jesus, I just ask that you would touch every person in this room today. That, Lord, that you would extend to them today, Lord, your kindness and your mercy and your great grace. That, Lord Jesus, today, that you would extend to them your tenderness and your compassion. Lord, everything that you are, that you will extend it to us today. Because, Lord, we love you and we thank you today for your many blessings. So, friend, today, if you're here and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've not committed your heart to him and asked him to come into your life to become your Savior, to forgive your sin, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. And if you're here while heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if you're here and you say, I need to make that commitment to Jesus today, I want you just to slip up your hand and I just want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to put you on the spot today. But if you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life today, would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor. Would you pray for me today? I want to be able to pray for you and ask the Lord to touch your life. Is there anyone at all? Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else this morning that would say, I want to make that commitment to Christ? Can we just say this prayer together? And if you didn't raise your hand and you knew that you probably should have done it, let's just pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your salvation. And today, Jesus, I come to you and I ask that you'd forgive my sin, that you would cleanse me today, that, Lord, that you would become my Lord. And today, Jesus, I purpose to follow you from this moment on. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.